So our message this morning comes from excerpts of Dr. Turner's message of April 27, 1969. Now, I'm not for sure if this is the copy that he brought to the podium 52 years ago. I know there's multiple copies of each sermons in his files. I don't know that he actually preached out of this very copy. But what I want to acknowledge this morning is that his sermon has returned to the pulpit of Bethel in some form or fashion. And I pray that I have done him justice in taking excerpts from this wonderful sermon and delivering a message for you this morning at this celebration. One of the scriptures that was used that's very poignant today for this message is 1 Peter 2, 1-7, and I also chose Ephesians 5, 1-21. So I'm going to do Ephesians 5, 1-21 if you wish to follow along in your Bibles if you have them. This is the NIV version, New International Version. And so let's go to the Lord now in Ephesians 5, 1 through 21. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Not should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such as a person much like an idler, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ or God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention that the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, "Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you." Be very careful, though, how you live, not as an unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God and the Father for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second scripture is 1 Peter 2, 1 through 7. Again, out of the New International Version. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So historically, back in the day, pastors prayed before they delivered their message. Well, I've already prayed several times this morning by myself, and so I'm going to pray with you this morning before I deliver this message. So again, let's go to the Lord in prayer. God of all our years, God of our present day, and God of our future, make the richness of our legacy handed to us inspire our faith in you this morning and in the days to come. May those who follow us find themselves here once again in celebration of the victory won in Jesus Christ. We ask this now and we pray. Amen. Again, good morning and happy anniversary, Bethel. Our beloved Bethel is truly Christ's church, defined as the house of the Lord. This weekend, we, the people of Bethel, take pause to remember and to celebrate 275 years of ministry. During these years, we have been witness to God's redemptive work, God's love and grace among our friends, our family, our community, our state, and yes, our nation. For 27 and a half decades, Bethel has shared the gospel of Jesus Christ by amplifying, magnifying, evangelizing, and revitalizing the good news of God's divine providence over us. We have stood on the foundation of hope, solidified in the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For 275 years, we have sought to live out the purpose of the Christian church, which is to increase the love of God among our neighbors and certainly among ourselves. Some would call this a legacy. This morning, I tell you that it's an inheritance. This morning's title message is Inheritable Victory. Our church, Bethel, has endured war, depression, loss, sacrifice, conflict, fire, and physical collapse. Our congregation has welcomed 22 pastoral relationships, one of which withstood the test of time for over 43 years. From whence we came, a small log church known as the Old North Mountain Meeting House, where the people of Bethel helped carve out a nation and her religious doctrine. Bethel is forever known in the history books for this statement: "Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof." Now we find ourselves this morning in this magnificent and historical structure where we worship together. Today we stand the embodied people of yesteryear, smaller in number perhaps, but just as tenacious, with just as much resolve as the founders of this nation and the settlers of Augusta County. James Madison declared us to be the following. He said these words: "They do not scruple to declare it an alarming assertion of their fundamental rights." that was over freedom of worship. In 1746, we proudly stood that day and yet again stand today as a people of faith and embody the same spirit that takes the same stance. It is our fundamental belief to freely worship. This congregation then and now continues to be trendsetters. This morning we have read together a reading that is typically reserved for All Saints Day. It is traditionally observed on the first day of November, and it is a time to commemorate people of faith throughout all ages. This morning, just together, this morning here shortly before November, we're going to use that scripture to do just that, to commemorate 275 years. These are the believers, many of whose names are not recorded or recalled in the history books of our church. You see, these believers had actions and they stated words and their steadfastness and their vision. They all have witnessed the love of God in the midst of this holy place in His ministry to the community. Their work has transmitted the faith down through the generations to each one of us this morning. This is the inheritance that I'm speaking of. This is the inheritance of love, mercy, grace, and hope. We have come together also to commemorate not so much the seven major building projects that have led us to this glorious structure we set in today that began so many years ago, but to commemorate the faith of those who founded and sustained this congregation. They founded and sustained this congregation for 275 years. We celebrate those who have maintained and witnessed the love and mercy of God Almighty in this ministry. This congregation celebrates their beginning in 1746 when the church was established. But we also celebrate beyond that point. We celebrate their conscious decision to establish a religious presence in 1732, before Bethel was founded. Dr. Turner stated in his address to the congregation on April 27, 1969, which was the 223rd year of Bethel, just prior to Mr. Caldwell's ministry here, he opened his sermon with this message. It was true then, 52 years ago, and it is as true today as it was then. These are his words. The people of this community have gathered in Bethel Church to declare their faith and renew their loyalty as they have worshiped together. Here, many of them were presented to God in baptism by their parents. Here, they affirmed their faith as they grew older and became members of the family of God. Here they found the integrity. Here they found the courage for the battles of life. And in times of trouble and sorrow and loss, the church became for them a haven of refuge, the shadow of a great rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. And then, when life was over and the battles won, they were born here by loving hands to affirm their faith in the house not made with hands but eternal in the heavens before they lay to rest in the church cemetery. In this weekend of celebration and remembrance, we all bring something very personal to the gathering of believers here today. We bring with us the memory of people who have been particularly influential in the journey of our faith and our walk as Christians. The powerful sense of standing in the company of unseen men and women whose spiritual presence still suffuses this place and all that is done here. The experience of the grace, mercy, and peace of God, the very presence of Christ shared and experienced through the communion share together as a people of faith. It is a time of profound thanksgiving and a time of prayerful hope that we truly will receive mercy to draw from the well of the past, creating new acts of faithfulness into that well and well into the future. The word inheritance should have a new meaning to us today. It implies our past heritage that has been left to each one of us for perpetual care. In worship today, we are focused on remembering our past, celebrating our present, and seeking God's continued blessing as we step into the future. Today, we reflect on what our ministry has done, where we have been, and what gifts have been left behind for us to use. We are especially reminded of the love and the giving that made Bethel who she is today, what gifts she has brought to the world in the name of God Almighty, and who she has shared those with in this community and beyond with His love and Spirit. Let me remind each of you this morning of the voices of our disciples past. You see, they are still speaking to us vibrantly today when we use their gifts. For example, when we hear the pipes of our organ ring out, we think of all the musicians who have spent their lives behind the keyboard or in the choir loft, praising God with their talent. This morning, after months of silence, we hear the pipes chime, and now again the organ rings and bellows out declaring our joy as Christians. Here again, we find ourselves able to sing and worship. When she plays, we cannot help but to reflect on our dearly departed friend Sarah Ann Lamb, who played the organ for 60 plus years, celebrating God in music. Her tenure and contributions, as well as many others devoted musicians who have worked here in this church, played the organ, played the piano, sang in the choir, those folks are blessings. You see, they have won the victorious battle of death. They are victorious over that battle. They are now with our Savior. But still this day, their memory and the inheritance that we received from them give glory to God. Another example is when we share the gift of financial support in our Christian scholarship program. We feel the presence of our benefactors still giving to Christ and His ministry in the education of our youth. We see them, we feel their presence when we walk the halls, when we see the talent and the craftsmanship that has come before us in the structures, in our stained glass windows, in our building itself, in the architectural design, we hear their voices. We feel their presence, our disciples past. What a wonderful feeling to be in the presence of Bethel's past members. What a wonderful feeling to be in the presence of you as well this morning. Through our past disciples, their voices and their presence, we are inspired this morning with great joy to follow and create a new legacy, a new inheritance, a more bountiful inheritance of faith for the future. It is with this feeling we experience that reminds us of our Christian duty. Just as we inherited this ministry from them, we choose to build it, nurture it, cultivate it, and give it to the coming generations. I think it's important for us to ask, what kind of church do we want for our younger generation to inherit? What will our young people receive from us? We know what we have received. What will our young people receive from us? Will they receive a new legacy and an inheritance of God's grace? Will they get a church that practices the biblical tenets of our faith? Will they receive a church mirroring God's teaching and mirroring our Presbyterian heritage? Can we give our kids a church that deliberately immerses itself in the transforming power of Jesus Christ? Our children and their children deserve a church much like the one we inherited, which teaches that all scriptures are self-attesting and they speak absolute truth. Can we give our children a church that is committed to practicing this type of ongoing faithfulness to God? I believe God is calling each of us to dedicate our lives and ourselves to the work of inspiring this church and the churches wherever you are a member of to create a legacy, one which is grounded in God's redemptive acts that culminate in the incarnation of the living Word of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In doing so, we will be amazed, as we have been for the past 275 years, how God will use us to touch the lives of those who need God's presence in their life, and also those who need to experience Jesus' love as we do daily in their life through His redeeming grace. It is fitting that I think it is fitting that we will close our anniversary celebration today, this weekend, under tents that have no sides. I believe these sideless tents are a metaphor as we create a lasting inheritance for those whom follow in the future. Friends, Bethel is Jesus Christ's own church, a church without barriers to its inner self, one that is translucent. Scripture declared this morning that we were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Then it declares for you to live as children of the light. Bethel is a church that desires to be the bearer of God's love and God's light. This desire has never changed since 1746. Bethel is a translucent church by which the inner light can be seen by the whole world. This light that I speak of was captured in Dr. Turner's sermon in 1969. Dr. Turner described the light this way. The early settlers had braved the terrors of the Atlantic and endured the hardships and privations of the wilderness to lay the foundation of a new way of life in a new land. They possessed an unalterable faith in God as the sovereign ruler of men's lives, and it seemed no more than natural to them that a place of worship should be built along with their own log homes, which would be the center of their community and the center of their lives. Thus, he describes the light this way. Thus, so began what was to become Bethel Church. Friends, while in the presence of this magnificent structure, carved and built out of remains from other structures to include a local distillery, which there probably will not be spiked punch today at your dinner, but it was, our doors and portions of our structure were built out of a local distillery. It is easy to be captivated by the structural glory of this building. What I want to reflect on this morning, however, is that Bethel is more than a structure and a building built by carpenters and masons. She is an embodiment of a spirit. One so bright that it can't help but to shine. Even in the darkest moments, Bethel's light shines. Bethel is an ideal, a vision that is embraced by our disciples' past, which shaped the lives of 11 generations in this community. 275 years ago, an idea was set in motion by men and women who declared their faith and bore witness to the power of the church. They knew that a church was needed to mold and shape lives with dignity and lives with worth. Thus, they established Bethel, and she has been in motion ever since. Traditionally, when we think of a centennial celebration, we think of the past, and we bask in the glory of yesteryear. In fact, I have heard over the weekend already this statement more than once: ah, the good old days. Generally, we speak briefly about the present, and we proffer a few key thoughts about our future. However, today I wish to take just a brief moment as I close and speak beyond our past. You see, many things have changed in 275 years. Let me take you back there. In Europe, this was likely the statement. You see, America only existed because she was tethered to the monarch of England. And I'm sure a conversation said, "America? America who?" "Oh, you mean the 3 million dirt poor colonists who live in those wretched 13 colonies. That must be who you're talking about. Yeah, they'll be lucky to make it. You know, that's a rough place over there. I'm sure one day they'll swim on back across the ocean. And I'm sure over here, as they settled this territory, somebody said, North Mountain Meeting House. Who did you say again? Oh, that little meeting house built of log. Those settlers of by the settlers of Augusta County. Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Who pastors then? Oh, there's a fellow by the name of John Craig that does that. Yep. Well, they're never going to make it either. You see, they're already struggling. I hear the word in town is they're divided between the old side and the new side. Let me fast forward 275 years. America? America who? Oh, America the beautiful. The greatest bastion of liberty and freedom ever conceived. You see, those 3 million colonists, they now equal 328,240,000 citizens and encompass 3,532 square miles of land. We never swam back across the ocean. Today, we celebrate 414 years of colonization. North Mountain Meeting House. Who was that again? Oh, Bethel Presbyterian Church. That's who you're speaking about. Yes, I'm familiar with that magnificent church. It sits out there on Howardsville Road. It encompasses somewhere around 47 acres filled with the Spirit of Jesus Christ, a long-standing spiritual pillar in this community, a house of faith. Yes, I remember them. Friends, this celebration has glorified our past. All weekend we have glorified our past, which will never be forgotten by any future generation. We will never allow that to happen. And this celebration has brought us back many great memories for all who are gathered here, and what a wonderful job the members of this church have done to put this celebration together. I would hope that as we look back on Bethel's heritage, we also look forward to her future and set for ourselves goals for the next 275 years of service to our Lord and Savior. So when our legacy is looked upon in the future by our children's grandchildren, they look back with even greater pride than we look back on today. Today, Bethel remains in motion. A church on the move, immersed in the inspirational spirit of Jesus Christ, acknowledging Scripture as the supreme word and final authority on all matters in which it speaks. Here, our leadership and our members do their very best to live up to the inheritance we received, and we work diligently every day in this ministry of Jesus Christ to pass on a church worthy of an inheritable victory to our children and their children alike. Bethel is a church in partnership with God and is experiencing, as it has in the past, a resurgence of life, a resurgence of covenant, and a church that is focused completely on the loving example of Jesus Christ. Our doors are wide open in hopes to receive all men, women, young adults, and children alike in the house of our Lord. As a family of faith, we stand firmly on the foundation of our heritage and our inheritance from the past. We are united in the vision, and like our disciples past, we stand again on a new threshold of a new beginning. We look into the future with renewed hope, much like the settlers did in 1732, and we seek God's divine providence as we step into the future. Today we face the sun with the same courage and confidence that has characterized the Bethel people through the years. Today we stand in the doorway of a new beginning. In all, every single family has contributed something unique to this ongoing life and ministry of Jesus Christ. And to them, I wish to express our sincere gratitude and appreciation. Know this, what we do today and the days to come will be our lasting contribution to the success of a new era. Regardless of what the world preaches, our future in Jesus Christ as a family of faith, one that lives in love, mercy, and grace, and one that remains in hope, is extraordinarily bright. Our light will create a new enthusiasm in the life of Bethel. Dr. Turner closed his message in 1969 with these words. They were fitting then, and they are most fitting this morning. He said this: "Together, we will embrace a new spirit of unity, and we can go forward to create a better Bethel." In Shakespeare's Hamlet, the young Hamlet is bowed down as he faces the heavy responsibility before him. When he becomes aware that his two friends, Horatio and Marcellus, are standing beside him, Hamlet then stands up and, linking his arms in the arms of his two friends, Hamlet says, "Come, let us go together." Friends, nothing, absolutely nothing, is impossible with God. Thus, as we face the sun and embark on a new era, a new tomorrow, let us join hands, embrace arm in arm into the future, united as God desires in a relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and state together, one family of faith, come, let us go together. Amen.